Well, our next speaker is Carol Henry. Okay, Dr. Carol Henry is an associate professor and interim head in the Division of Nutrition, College of Pharmacy and Nutrition, University of Saskatchewan. And she received her MSc in Food Systems Administration from Loma Linda University, California, and M.Ed. and Ph.D. from University of Western Ontario. As a practitioner scholar in the community engaged research, Dr. Henry leads a multifaceted research scholarship agenda on local and global initiatives aimed at addressing the determinants of and solution to food insecurity and malnutrition, utilizing traditional and innovative practices through nutrition and agriculture and gender link, especially through pulse production and consumption and resource communities such as in Ethiopia. With this brief introduction, I will invite Carol Henry. She is going to talk on integrating nutrition and agricultural objectives for improved food security.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you. I just want to take one quick minute. Ouch, lost my glasses. I wouldn't be able to see. I just want to take one quick minute to recognize my colleagues from Ethiopia, Drs. Gite, Nigatu, and Dr. Tedros, who is here. They're part of the partnership with Hawassa University, and they're at our university for the last 2 months, where we have been working on a number of activities, and also our project manager, Dr. Atul, who is also here with us. My task quickly this morning is to talk about integrating nutrition, as you've heard, the agricultural objectives, and more so from the standpoint about talking about some of the tools that we have used and the work that we're doing within the partnership. I think you've heard a lot about nutrition and how important it is as a partner to addressing agricultural objectives, so I am not going to spend any time on that. I think that's well covered. Simply to talk about a little bit about Ethiopia, and I know my colleagues from Ethiopia are here and they'll do more justice than I will, but also to share that while there are issues in Ethiopia on malnutrition, there are also a number of initiatives that are happening that are seeking to address this, and one of them has been recently the launching of the National Nutrition Initiative by the government of Ethiopia. Malnutrition in Ethiopia, you've heard a number of the presentations have covered the issues around iron deficiency and zinc deficiency. And probably one of the concerns for us in Ethiopia is about stunting in the under five, which while it is on the decline, we know that this is a major concern. We are also concerned about women of reproductive age, and so because pretty much this is one of the areas where we're seeing not only iron deficiency but also zinc deficiency. Most of us have seen this from UNICEF. Perhaps what I'm looking at are the issues around insufficient access to food and probably the use of plant-based staples in the diet as a way of addressing this, recognizing that not all the nutrients can be utilized, particularly from a plant-based staple diet. This, of course, in Ethiopia, most majority of Ethiopian population has limited access to animal-source food, and so plant-based nutrition is quite common. And so one of the challenges then is to address the issues of anti-nutrients in the diet in order to increase the micronutrient aspect of the diet. Legumes, our project focus on legumes, pulse crop, and I think it's well suited because pretty much as someone who's grown up in the developing country, one of the foods that we thoroughly enjoyed in the Caribbean are legumes, and we use them in many fashions and here, so it was good to be able to do that here in Ethiopia as well. And that's not to say that Ethiopians don't eat legumes. They surely do. But recognizing that this is a cheap source of nutrient, it matures, pulse mature in short period, and so because of its short growing season, it is one of those that we can readily use on a when we begin to talk about a whole food diet. As you'll see also, the contributions from legumes probably are still slow, even though it's been eaten, and so therefore this is one of the reasons why we're looking at it in an attempt to increase that contribution. One of the taboos, of course, is that legumes are a poor man's diet, but most of the literature and most of us know that it's beyond that, that it is a good not only a good source of nutrients, but we're looking towards it for addressing some of the chronic diseases, low glycemic index such as diabetes and also obesity. In Ethiopia, in southern Ethiopia, we're working in 5 sites, and the targets then are women of reproductive age, their farmers, and children under 5. What I'm showing you now is one of the things that we had to do. The partnership with Hawassa University is about 17 years old, begun with soil management, moved on to plant breeding, and then 2008, nutrition became one of the partners. And one of the things we had to think about is how will we fit? Agriculturists have worked together all the time alone. Plant breeders have worked independently. And so when we first got there, everyone asked, what can you do for us? And so we had to think through how we're fitting. And so we began with soil quality, looked at crop diversification, which is what we're looking at, mainly pulse. And then we talked about food processing, because as we go from farm to fork, and then we needed to look at how that is impacting on human health. Of course, always looking at a gender focus to ensure that we're meeting the needs of both men, women, and children. The project's objective then is to improve nutrition and health in rural Ethiopians, especially children, and to use that combined approach of pulse plant breeding and crop enrichment, bringing as we say, for the full potential of agriculture, which is soil, plant soil science, food processing, and more recently, value marketing and value chain. The project seeks to address the 4 pillars of food security: availability, access, utilization, focusing mainly on consumption, diversity, looking at the diet to ensure that we're getting the nutrients that we need from food as much as is possible, to talk about household food processing to ensure that we are reducing some of the anti-nutrients like phytate, and then finally nutrition education and also care. The nutrition interventions that we have looked at is to really promote the adoption of new varieties of chickpeas, haricot, and other beans, but also really just to promote good food, whatever that will be, just good food. Nutrition education and training, we are also looking at product development, which is recipe development, focusing primarily on complementary foods, addressing some of the 1,000 days of life. We have started to measure some of that, we're looking at diversity scores, and some of those you will see on the screen. I'd like to share with you the nutrition pathway. This one we took some time to develop because we wanted to see just where the project was going and how we would achieve the outcomes we wanted to. Of course, we're starting with agricultural intervention, and if you notice, it's gender-sensitive interventions. This is an area that we're still working on. Our gender team is here. We spent about the last month working on this area, and so we hope that we will have much more to share. Animal, of course, plant breeding, and then nutrition education. But if you notice also, we do have some link to commercialization. This is another area that we're looking at. Our projects pretty much are student faculty led, and by that we mean that one of the goals of the project is to build capacity at Hawassa University. And so we work with grad students as well as faculty. And we also have a joint PhD program with the University of Saskatchewan and Hawassa, and then graduate students from Hawassa does come to the University of Saskatchewan to complete their PhD. The intent then is to also help to build that capacity. So I won't spend a lot of time on the projects, but just to show you some examples of the projects that we're looking at in terms of agriculture, some examples of the projects that we're looking at in terms of marketing and value chain. Notice value chain analysis, which is somewhat Dr. Tedros is working on, and then food processing methodologies that we're using, and then of course post-harvest practices and nutrition intervention. This is one of the tools that we have developed, a conversation map. We're still looking to name it, but what this does for us, and it has worked successfully, is to be able to have in a room farmers as well as heads of females to talk about the issues from different point of view that really impacts nutrition and implementing agriculture into nutrition. So we begin with agriculture, and the good thing about this tool is you can begin any place on that map. This is our gender analysis framework that we're working on, and I think we're getting there to where the next 6 months of the project we will be focusing on this aspect of the project. So what are some of the things we have learned? Well, we're still growing and learning. We have much to learn. But part of it we understood from the production side that double cropping and crop rotation does and can increase production and higher nutrition. That in order to impact consumption, you do need nutrition education and training to work alongside production to improve diversity. And of course, it's important to think about the markets as well. Where are we now? I think where we are now is to begin to do the evaluation, to ask the questions then, what has been the impact of the work that we have done so far on improving nutrition outcomes, and then to look towards scaling up of these outcomes. And with that, I want to thank you and to say thanks from the team in Ethiopia and the University of Saskatchewan.